Press TV headlines, hundreds of thousands rally in the United States against a new immigration law. Hezbollah says that the allegations of Syria transferring Scud missiles to the group are mere threats. And Thailand's government calls an emergency cabinet meeting amid fears of a civil war.
Hello everyone, you're watching Press TV News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, in the U.S., May Day rallies turn into protests against the new immigration bill in the state of Arizona. The protesters want Arizona's new immigration law to be abolished. They also demand a federal immigration reform. The new immigration law in Arizona makes it a state crime to lack proper immigration papers. It also allows police to detain and question anyone they suspect of being an illegal immigrant. Under the law, people can also be arrested because of their physical appearance. Civil rights activists say the law is unconstitutional and encourages racial profiling. Well, Press TV's correspondent in Los Angeles, Ross Frazier, earlier joined us with more on anti-immigration protests across America.
We have an estimated 70 rallies going across America. We have the largest ones in cities like New York, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C. The largest one is, in fact, in downtown Los Angeles right now. Police are estimating anywhere between 100,000 to 200,000 people have filled a 10-block area. Essentially, these protesters are upset about the Arizona immigration law that passed last week. It's scheduled to take effect in July. The interesting thing about this Arizona immigration, with all the controversy that started, it has really galvanized these separate civil rights and immigrant groups into a more single unifying force.
The annual May Day rally in the Greek capital Athens has been shadowed by violence. Some 17,000 marchers gathered in front of the parliament to show their disapproval of the recent economic decisions by the government. The rally was fueled by anger at expected harsh austerity measures needed to secure rescue loans for the near-bankrupt country. Police clashed with some of the protesters and arrested 10 people. Several other European countries also witnessed rallies for the International Workers' Day.
On May Day, the German workers' unions took to the streets to demonstrate against social injustice and to call for the introduction of minimum wages. Up to 500,000 people joined 450 rallies across the country.
We want to protect our social system. And we have even to deepen it, because the crisis has become more crucial even to people. It has become much more evident that it is a crisis of financial capital.
Several politicians of the current conservative liberal government had warned of left-wing extremist violence that has been on the rise. Last year, up to 500 policemen were injured in nightly clashes in Berlin. This year, up to 7,000 policemen were present throughout the city. Apart from minor incidences, the night remained peaceful. The far-right National Democratic Party had also called for several protests in German cities. In Berlin, up to 500 neo-Nazis gathered in the well-off district of Prenzlauer Berg. A wide range of political parties and organizations had called to block the demonstration.
The people have to show that they don't want the neo-Nazis. To remain silent and say it's none of our concern would be seen as silent acceptance. So it's good that there are so many counter-demonstrators. I just hope it will remain peaceful without any violence.
10,000 people came to prevent the right-wing extremists from marching through the city. Again and again, protesters, including high-ranking politicians from the Social Democratic Party and the Greens, sat on the street and had to be removed by the police. Right-wing extremist demonstrations in Schweinfurt and Rostock also were met by tens of thousands of counter-demonstrators.
I hope this all will be over and that the police will abstain from beating anyone.
Soon afterwards, the neo-Nazis had to cancel their demonstration. The counter-demonstrators went on to the Maifest in the multicultural district of Kreuzberg, where 23 years ago the annual May Day riots had started. Strict security measures by the police have so far prevented violent clashes. So far, the festive May remained more or less peaceful due to a massive police presence here on the streets of Berlin. A demonstration of a couple of hundred neo-Nazis was delayed for several hours as thousands of Berlin citizens demonstrated along the streets against right-wing extremism. Stefan Herrmann for Press TV in Berlin.
Lebanon's Hezbollah movement has strongly reacted to U.S. and Israeli allegations that it's stockpiling weapons.
Well, the group's secretary general has described the accusations of Syria transferring Scud missiles to Hezbollah as mere threats. Sayed Hassan Nasrallah says such intimidations are meant to put pressure on the resistance forces. He has also ruled out the possibility of a war in the region, saying there's no political objective to be achieved through war. Nasrallah announced that his movement has the right to possess any kind of weapons to defend Lebanon. He was addressing the Lebanese people during a ceremony to honor the members of the Islamic Resistance Support Organization. Nasrallah has also met with Qatari Premier Sheikh Hamad bin Jassim Al Thani. The two discussed regional political developments, including Israel's threats against Lebanon and Syria.
Syria has once more rejected U.S. and Israeli accusations that it transferred long-range Scud missiles to Lebanon's Hezbollah, saying the claims are aimed at increasing tension in the region. Here is more.
Syria has warned the United States not to repeat allegations made by Israel that it transferred Scud ballistic missiles to the Lebanese Hezbollah. Damascus said that the U.S. wanted to repeat the same scenario adopted by the American administration before the war in Iraq. This comes after U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said in a speech in Washington. He went on to say that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is making decisions that could mean war or peace for the region. In a press statement, Syrian Foreign Minister Walid Muallim accused the U.S. of destabilizing the region through providing Israel with all kinds of sophisticated weapons.
The Syrian reaction aims at sending a message to the U.S. administration that its policies and that of Israel are the reason behind the instability in the region. Syria wants to convince others that its alliance with Iran is strategic and no regional or international factor can break it.
The U.S. had accused Syria in the past of allowing the infiltration of militants to Iraq through its borders. Syria has strongly denied in the past days Israel's allegations, saying they were an attempt by Tel Aviv to divert attention from what's going on in the occupied Palestinian territories. Al-Mu'allim accused the U.S. of absolute bias towards Israel at the expense of Syria and of ignoring the role Damascus has played in maintaining security and stability in the region. Experts rule out the possibility of any war in the near future and say that the current threats serve to intimidate the resistant parties in the region.
The claims of weapons being transferred to Hezbollah aims at diverting attention from Israel's attempts to Judaize Jerusalem al-Quds and to reject the peace process. I do not expect a war in the near future because the Israeli threat's aim is to practice a kind of psychological war.
Many believe that adopting the Israeli allegations by Washington confirmed the depth of the alliance between the United States and Israel, and that Washington will always support Israel.
Israel and the U.S. accused Syria of supplying long-range Scud missiles to Hezbollah without offering any evidence. And while the U.S. repeatedly talks of security of Israel, it insists on providing it with all kinds of sophisticated weapons and prefers to turn a blind eye to its arsenal of nuclear weapons, which are a major threat to the whole region. Khaldun Al-Ridi, Press TV, Damascus.
Well, the top Palestinian Authority negotiator says indirect peace talks with Israel will take place if Tel Aviv stops settlement buildings in the occupied territory. Saeb Erekat has reiterated that if Israel builds one unit in East Jerusalem al-Quds, Palestinians will not go to the talks. He added that the Arab League support for the talks is also conditioned on a halt of settlement activities in the occupied West Bank. He made the remarks after a meeting of Arab League officials in Cairo. In March, the Palestinian Authority officials agreed to indirect negotiations of a period of 4 months. The plans, however, collapsed days later when Israel said it would build 1,600 new settlement units in the occupied lands.
Gazan workers have held demonstrations demanding immediate reopening of border crossings. The tiny seaside territory has been under siege for almost 3 years now. Ashraf Shannon has more.
Thousands of unemployed Gaza workers marked Labor Day by marching towards the Erez border crossing in northern Gaza. They called on the international community to pressure Israel into reopening border crossings. Things are worsening rapidly for Gaza workers. According to the Hamas government in Gaza, poverty rate in the strip has skyrocketed to 80%, in large part due to the Israeli siege. Unemployment rate among Gaza's population of 1.5 million is at nearly 60%, according to aid agencies working in Gaza. The siege has been biting into all aspects of life, and many here believe that the immediate solution to the day-to-day suffering is the permanent opening of border crossings.
This is a message to the whole world, where Gaza workers say they cannot take it anymore. Things are extremely difficult here because of the ongoing siege. The workers demand the international community to step in and open all border crossings so the people of Gaza can live a decent life.
After nearly 3 years of siege and a war that battered the territory's public and private infrastructure, most Gazans are living on $2 a day. Many depend on food coupons from aid agencies and spend most of their meager monthly income on food. Israel and Egypt place the territory under siege and impose an unprecedented blockade on nearly all movement and supplies in and out of the strip following Hamas's takeover of Gaza in June 2007. They currently deny entry to all but basic humanitarian supplies into the enclave.
The workers want the injustice to stop. They want the construction materials. They want raw materials to enter Gaza so they can return to their jobs. For almost 3 years now, they have been out of work and living on handouts.
The combination of unemployment, poverty, and massive destruction has made daily life a struggle for most Gaza laborers.
As workers around the globe celebrate Labor Day, many workers in Gaza are worried about how they will be able to provide the bare necessities of life for their families as their situation is getting worse day by day due to the blockade. Ashraf Shannon, Press TV Gaza.
In Thailand, the government has called for an emergency cabinet meeting to discuss how to deal with the political turmoil.
Well, meanwhile, the opposition claim more protesters are on their way from provinces to join the red shirts in the capital. A government spokesman says the cabinet will meet Sunday morning in a special session. This as calls grow on the government to agree to foreign mediation to resolve the dispute between the two sides. The think tank International Crisis Group has warned that Thailand's political system has broken down and said the standoff could deteriorate into an undeclared civil war. The government has repeatedly rejected calls to bring in foreign mediators. The red shirts are demanding the government disband parliament and call elections. At least 27 people have been killed and nearly 1,000 wounded in the violence between protesters and security forces over the past weeks.
Twin blasts in the Somali capital Mogadishu have killed at least 30 people and left scores injured. The explosions ripped through a mosque packed with worshippers in Bakara Market. Armed fighters surrounded the mosque following the explosions. Local reports say the attack targeted a senior al-Shabaab leader. No group has claimed responsibility. This was the second attack to hit a mosque in the area within a week. A mosque used by al-Shabaab was also targeted on Saturday.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. It's time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. Hundreds of thousands rally in the United States against a new immigration law. Hezbollah says the allegations of Syria transferring Scud missiles to the group are mere threats. And Thailand's government calls an emergency cabinet meeting amid fears of a civil war.